From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
North Oakland.
Temescal.
Alamo Square.
I live in Noe Valley.
Corona Heights.
Western Addition.
I live in North Oakland, right by MacArthur BART Station.
Coming up, Oakland's got the nation's highest minimum wage, and we're looking at what that means with the mayor, workers, and employers.
You're going to have to pay a little bit more, but it's for a better Oakland.
Then we head to an empty lot in East Oakland that's a battleground for the city's living wage ordinance.
We want to make sure that the city of Oakland is not handing out exemptions and waivers like candy.
And we see how a low-income earner survives in the high-priced Bay Area.
Hopping on the bus and not paying and hoping and praying the muni police do not get on the bus.
What's the true cost of living on the minimum wage? That's what we're talking about today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. On March 2nd, Oakland established the nation's highest minimum wage at $12.25 an hour. It's a mandate supported by 82% of Oakland's voters. At a press conference earlier this month, Mayor Libby Schaaf encouraged Oaklanders to help businesses pay the bill.
Let us double down on our local Oakland love this weekend. Thursday, hit happy hour. Friday, take your sweetie out to dinner. Saturday, get some breakfast. Sunday, there's some great brunches around Oakland, and I'm here to tell you that fair wage food tastes better.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Schaaf stood outside of Farley's East Coffee Shop in downtown Oakland. She was joined by Farley's cook, Kiara Gomez.
It's going to help us out a lot. A lot of us people, like me, I cannot afford an apartment, but now I think I'm going to be able to afford my own place. I'm a single mother, so that really means a lot to me.
Inside the bustling cafe, customers are showing up.
I'm going to ring you guys up over here. Hey, Bessie, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
What can I get for you, cappuccino?
I'm going to get an iced latte today.
Uh-huh. All right.
Some small business owners have warned that raising the wage could shut them down. But Farley's owner, Chris Hilliard, says he's willing to make the transition. He sat down with KALW's Ben Trefney.
The challenge we faced in Oakland was that it went from $9 to $12.25 overnight. So it was a 36% increase overnight that we had to deal with.
Then how'd you deal with it?
We organized a group of like-minded cafes and restaurants in Oakland and got together to figure out, you know, the best strategy. And ultimately what we took away from that is we needed to generate the public awareness around this so that the public would understand why prices went up, because there was really no way around it. We didn't want to cut people's hours, lay people off. So it was, well, over 80% of the people in Oakland voted for this measure. It's a good thing. We actually supported it as well, because we want to pay our employees as high a wage as possible. And to do that, you know, we were forced to raise prices.
So did prices rise 36%? How did you do that at Farley's?
No, fortunately not 36%. We'd probably go out of business if we raised prices that much. The net impact on our payroll was about 15%. Our payroll went up 15% with the minimum wage increase, because we weren't starting people at $9 an hour anyways. So our prices went up anywhere from 5 to 15%, depending on the item.
But you were quoted as saying that businesses, restaurants, often work on razor-thin margins, razor-thin profit margins, right? I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. There's kind of a standard industry metric for restaurants that says, okay, 30% of your cost should be labor, 30% should be your cost of goods, ingredients, 30% for general operating expenses, and then you get to take home the remaining 10% or reinvest it. That's a national metric. In the Bay Area, it's more like 35 to 40% is on labor, 30+% is on the cost of goods, because certainly in our establishments, we try to use higher quality ingredients that just cost more. I mean, sure, we could go approach Sysco Food Services and drastically reduce our food costs, but then we're not offering a product that we can stand behind. So at the end of the day, you know, the net income is usually anywhere from 3 to 7% in most businesses. So it's a lot less than the traditional metrics are.
Mm-hmm. That is Chris Hilliard. He is the owner of Farley's SF, Farley's East in Oakland, and Farley's on 65th in Emeryville. I mean, I know that you were a supporter of Measure FF in that passing in Oakland, and so you had mechanisms in place essentially to be able to absorb that cost. But what about for other businesses who might even have a smaller profit margin or had been paying their employees less than $10 an hour because that's what was legally required? Do you think they'll be able to handle it as well?
I think there's definitely going to be a lot of transition and turmoil in the industry over the next several months as people get caught up with their wages. And, you know, I mentioned I got together with several other restaurants and we started talking about this. And one of our concerns was, well, what about the restaurants that aren't even aware of this? The city hasn't done a great job doing outreach related to this new law. And so eventually everyone will catch up. So those restaurants are going to have to raise their prices as well. And it's definitely going to be an impact.
Well, because that impact could be the loss of restaurants and therefore the loss of jobs, right?
It's certainly possible.
So when the economy is booming and unemployment rates are low, that's not such a big problem. When unemployment rates go higher, but fewer businesses can survive because they can't pay as much.
It's certainly one of the counter arguments that people make to raising the minimum wage is that you're going to lose jobs as a result. And I know there's been several academic studies around that, especially when it was, I believe, San Jose raised their minimum wage. They looked at the job impact in the reports, and the academic cited negligible impact.
Mm.
I'm sure that, you know, some restaurants will close. I mean, the industry, half of all restaurants fail in the first 3 years anyways. So some restaurants are going to close, and people will lose jobs, unfortunately. And not sure I want to say, well, this minimum wage is going to make people lose their job. I don't really think that will happen. But I think the industry as a whole is so competitive and challenging. And the margins, as I said it earlier, are so narrow, it's hard to make it work regardless of what the minimum wage is.
So if your profit margin was to go down to 1% to 5% or something like that, is that survivable?
I don't think you could survive at 1% because what happens when an unexpected expense comes up and it wipes out all your profit? And, you know, we can't run the business and not make any money. Or, you know, we have to survive too as the business owners.
What would you do then if you found, when you start to measure this, when you have some actually measurable numbers, what will you do if your profit margin has shrunk down to, you know, a low level that's not sustainable?
Yeah, at that point, we'll have to look at staff hours at that point, because that's obviously what's going to be the big increase impacting our statement at the end of the month. So we're going to have to look at staff hours and try to shave off a little bit here and there, but not eliminate actual positions, just reduce hours however we can.
That was Chris Hilliard, owner of Farley's East Coffee Shop in Oakland. He spoke with KLW's Ben Trefney. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Oakland may be dealing with a new minimum wage increase, but for city employees, there's already a living wage ordinance on the books. Right now, that requires employers who get city subsidies to pay their workers $14.10 an hour. That clause became the subject of contention last month. A developer who'd scored city subsidies in an effort to revitalize a decrepit stretch of land in East Oakland had a proposal for the city council. It told the city council that in order to bring in its first tenant, Walgreens, the developer would need a waiver to the city's living wage ordinance. KLW's Jack Detch takes us to East Oakland to explain the controversy.
I'm at the corner of Seminary Avenue and Foothill Boulevard in East Oakland, right in front of what will be the Seminary Point development in several years. The grass is up to my knees over here. You can see construction workers on their lunch break. You can hear the sounds in the background of people scraping cement into the concrete. Cars passing by. There's a sign for a lost Pomeranian. Some small businesses, but most of the houses and shops out here are boarded up. It's an area in East Oakland that's been plagued by crime, poverty, some trouble, that's been really in need of reinvestment and new hope.
I'm looking forward to a Walgreens and some other retail stores possibly being here.
Ken German's a construction worker. He's seen the neighborhood grow and change over the past 40 years.
When I was 15 years old, there was a bowling alley here. It was a chicken and waffle place and pool hall and a couple of clubs, and there was trouble here all the time. And since they knocked those buildings down, since the land has been clear, the crime has been down considerably.
But development here has been painstaking, so much so that in 2013, the city of Oakland had to hand over $6 million in federal tax credits to get Sunfield Development, a local company, to invest in the site. That means Sunfield only needs to pay Uncle Sam 60% of what it's investing in what it's calling Seminary Point. Sid Afshar is the founder and CEO of Sunfield.
We've had several bursts of real estate development and real estate bust and booms in the past. But this area has been completely neglected. And I just don't see why. You know, we've got police presence there. We have strong neighborhood communities. Everybody loves where they live. You go a mile away on top of the mountains from Foothill and Seminary, all of those homes are kept beautifully. Very few of them are rented.
Now let's get back to that $6 million tax credit Oakland afforded Sunfield. When the city subsidizes your property, that triggers what's called the living wage law, something that came on the books in Oakland in the 90s. So if you want to hire workers at any development funded with the city's help, you have to cough up a little more than $14 an hour. That's almost $2 more than the city's new minimum wage, approved as Measure FF by voters in November. Sunfield said its anchor tenant, Walgreens, didn't like that. They didn't want to pay a higher rate. So Sunfield filed for a waiver to the living wage at Seminary Point. It went before the city's Economic Development Committee, which includes Vice Mayor Rebecca Kaplan. But she says the idea of a waiver never should have come to them in the first place.
It was entirely a miscommunication. There was around the question of whether Walgreens would open under the minimum wage law, which is Measure FF, or under the Oakland Living Wage Ordinance. And due to the miscommunication, there was a belief that Walgreens would only come under the Measure FF ordinance, and that turned out to be incorrect information. So there will be no such proposal moving forward.
Mistake or no, the committee approved the exemption. And even though Walgreens protested it never really wanted a waiver, some people think the exemption sets a bad precedent for the city.
I think we as a community need to stay vigilant to make sure that the city's minimum wage policies and living wage policies are followed.
Jennifer Lynn works with the East Bay Alliance for a Sustainable Economy.
We as a community need to stay vigilant as the new minimum wage goes into effect, because what's to keep the city from looking the other way when Walgreens or McDonald's or any other corporation is found in violation of the minimum wage?
In Oakland, that's a big concern. A few weeks ago, protesters gathered outside City Hall to rally in support of Measure FF. Now, keep in mind, that measure was already passed. But people are worried about implementation, because the new minimum wage law impacts about a quarter of workers in the city. And it's become a national movement. President Obama even took it on in his State of the Union address earlier this year.
And everyone in this Congress who still refuses to raise the minimum wage, I say this. If you truly believe you could work full-time and support a family on less than $15,000 a year, try it.
Oakland voters did. And right now, because of Measure FF, the city has the highest minimum wage in the country at $12.25 an hour. But that's not really enough to cover your average rent. The median price for a one-bedroom rental in Oakland right now is over $2,900 a month. That's more than double what you pay in San Diego, let alone most of the rest of the country. It's those kind of prices that'll bring 30 people to a city council meeting about how the living wage ordinance applies at the corner of Seminary and Foothill. Ken German, who we heard from earlier, just wants to see the development happen.
I don't think $2 makes that much of a difference to us here in this neighborhood. You know, just to have an opportunity to be employed in the neighborhood, whether it's 12 or 14, you know, because a lot of us have been where we've made $0. So 12 is tremendous.
But his neighbor, Paula Blackwell, says Oakland's laws should stay consistent.
Anytime you're getting more, it's always better. Anytime, I don't care where you go. You know, it's always better. It's always, I mean, it's only fair. And $14 is nothing. You know, not with the way the economy is today. It's nothing. So, I mean, $14 is not going to kill them. It ain't going to make them, and it ain't going to break them.
No, it won't kill them. But will it keep them from coming? In Oakland, I'm Jack Detch for Cross Currents.
As of now, the Sunfield Development Project is moving forward with Walgreens as the expected anchor tenant. People working on the project will be paid at least $14.10 an hour per the living wage ordinance. It's not clear yet, though, what Walgreens will pay its employees once it moves into the neighborhood. Listening to Cross Currents from KALW News, I'm Hanat Baba. Despite dramatic increases in worker pay in Oakland and San Francisco, it still isn't nearly enough to meet the skyrocketing cost of living. Like for Dawana Stewart, the native San Franciscan graduated from June Jordan School for Equity, a small high school on the southeast side of the city. Now she's 24 and working three jobs and shares a home with her mother. It's the only way she's been able to stay in San Francisco. We spent a week with Dawana to get a sense of her life as a low-wage earner in the high-priced Bay.
All right, here you are in a size 9.
Mm-hmm. This one is a little bit too narrow.
Okay. So yeah, that's why I wanted to bring out the 9, just so you can test it out and see which size you prefer.
My name is Dawana Stewart. I live in Bayview, Hunters Point, San Francisco, California.
But I also want to see how it fits as a 9, just see if it's too big or if it's too loose. My primary job is working at Macy's Union Square as a shoes associate. That's the job I've had for about 4 or 5 years. I've kept this job for so long because, one, I work on commission, so that's a little extra change on top of my minimum wage. My second job is a teacher at June Jordan School for Equity to, you know, basically help children try to make movies and flex their creative muscles. So let's get Jason. Can we get the camera out?
Fine.
Can we get Ken Omar?
The third job I have, I recently just obtained as a production assistant for ABC Productions. So basically what we're doing, we're filming teachers at June Jordan currently.
Okay, Martha, can you help out too? Can we get a couple of chairs? Just two chairs each, please.
The Macy's pays me every Friday, so that runs between like $150 to maybe like $240 maybe a week. For June Jordan, I get paid a stipend of $2,000 at the end of each semester. For ABC Productions, I get paid every Monday, but for some reason, we're having trouble receiving our checks on a weekly basis. So some people are receiving the checks more later than they would want to, and that kind of sucks because it's like when you're behind on payment, then people can't seem to, you know, pay their bills or get their rent done on time. So it's when the checks are late, then it makes everybody else late too. So my mom's a single parent, so it's always just been me and her because I'm her only child.
But I would think, okay, well, now if they're having the construction in the house like now.
Yeah, but you know they're not putting no money in the house. I've told the contractor who's been fixing the house that that's a problem.
family doesn't want to spend any money.
My income on my own without being dependent on my mom isn't like super bad to afford to live in the city, but I would still have to find a place and potential roommates. Earlier during 2012, I was actually trying to apply for low-income housing. However, that year that I started applying was the same year that my mom started charging me for rent. So the money that I wanted to go towards getting an apartment really just went straight to my mom, which kind of like threw a monkey wrench into my overall plans of trying to find a place of my own.
Was it the number 9 3-piece?
Just the
strips and then the satisfies.
I spoil myself with food. I love food, all types of food. During a week, I might pay like $150 to $200 on food. And we're not even talking about meals. We're talking about like, oh, let me get a tea, and let me get like a yogurt, and maybe I'll get a water, and then maybe I'll get lunch. And then so after a while, it all starts piling up. It's unhealthy, but it is what it is.
28.
So for entertainment, like I haven't seen a movie in so long, so I couldn't tell you how much I would spend on that. But for fun purposes, usually fun is free, so I don't spend too much money on that.
Hopping on the bus and not paying and hoping and praying the Muni police do not get on the bus. That's one strategy. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes I'm free mini ride, hey.
Other times, that $75 ticket, that's a doozy. My cell phone bill, it's always 60 to 70 a month. I'm bad at paying off my card on time. I just made like a big lump sum payment, like of $300, but on average, I'll pay like the minimum of like $25 to $50. I mean, at 24, you would think, oh, I have my own car, I have my own place, I'm, like, you know, really independent and living in the city, so you would think I'd be making my own moves right now. When my mom was at this age, she moved out at 18, and I think she had, like, her own apartment by the time she was, like, 21. So, definitely like to be further ahead in my life, even though I'm like, it seems like I'm doing so much, I still would like to be like a lot further ahead than where I am now.
The story first aired last May. It was produced by KLW's Jasmine Lopez. Now we'd like to hear from you. How have you been affected by the rise in the minimum wage? Are you an employee or an employer? And what do you think of exemptions to wage laws in an effort to bring more jobs? Email us at news@kalw.org with your ideas, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter @KALW, or pick up the phone. The number is 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hambrick, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Marlo McKenzie, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, Colin Peden, Stephen Short, and Judy Silber. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. The line producer was Sandhya Dirks. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by One Word. They're playing at San Francisco's Dolores Park Cafe on Friday night. The band from Burlingame is one of 6 performers taking part in a hip-hop showcase. The show starts at 7 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.